You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church. Hey, this is Malia, your host as usual, and I am joined by my co-host, Pastor David.
Yeah, as usual.
As usual, and it's not even as usual. I feel like I can't even say that because it's been a hot minute.
I almost feel like I got a job back, like I got laid off, and now it's like, I'm back.
I'm trying to think how long it's been.
It's been a long
time. It was last year.
Revelation
sometime.
Series.
Was it really that long ago?
I think it's probably been since the Revelation
Actually,
series.
Actually, I bet it's been, I wonder if our last one, I'd have to go back and look, if it was when I interviewed Kevin Hessen for our 20-year anniversary.
So at least 6 months.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what have you been up to?
Man, working.
Yeah. I was trying to think how we've been filling the void. That's what I'm kind of like. But there's always something that rises up in its place, you know?
Yeah. And when we stop doing it, you just get out of rhythm of doing it. It used to be such a, like every 2 weeks, right?
Yep.
No rhythm.
I know. So.
I actually thought when I pulled the bag out, like everybody listening, you can't see it but we have a bag that all of our stuff's in. And when I first opened it up, I was like, it's simple to put together, but I was kind of like, man, hopefully I remember how to hook all this stuff up. Cause it's been
like
so long.
Brand new again.
It is like toys. We have toys.
So we started, a series in Genesis.
Yeah.
Earlier this month.
Yep.
Which personally I was super excited about because Genesis is probably one of my favorite books of the Bible. Although I will confess I was a little sad that we were only doing Genesis 1 through 11, right?
Yeah.
Because I feel like all of the really good stuff, all of the like spicy stories
stuff?
In the back half of Genesis.
Like Abraham selling his wife off. Spicy stuff.
Leah and Rachel. Tamar and Judah.
Lot and his daughters.
Yes. I'm actually in my Bible in a Year plan that I'm listening to in our Dwell app. Mm-hmm. I'm almost to the end of Genesis and it's so good. There was one day I was like, it was like a cliffhanger, even though I know what happens, but I was kind of sad that it was over for the day because I'm like, it's so spicy.
It is. Anybody says the Bible's boring has not read the Bible.
Yeah. It's good stuff. But David has said,
maybe.
And we may hold him to this, that we may go back.
Maybe.
Finish up Genesis.
See, I do these things because it makes the church keep me around. Well, listen, I mean, legitimately, we're going to be in the fourth week.
I mean, you're the one that's on Indeed every other day.
I know, yeah. we're literally... in the fourth week of this series, and technically we are not even out of chapter one yet.
Yeah, we're still
because we're still going to be talking about creation of man.
Yeah.
That's where, you know, so think how long it would take to go through Genesis.
I know.
Like, we would 2 years at least.
So much good stuff, though.
So, yeah.
It's so foundational for, I really think Genesis and Exodus are so foundational for really understanding the New Testament because they're referenced so
much.
The Old Testament in general is just referenced a ton in the New Testament. And it's like scales falling off your eyes when you read the New Testament then because it's so much more alive and you understand so much more.
Oh yeah. Well, that's why it's so important because Jesus referred back to especially creation multiple times, which I see as validation.
Yeah.
Of, you know, how we're supposed to take it. And then, you know, somebody I even said this Sunday, and just in conversation, we were having, you know, as they were talking about the sermon, and they said the same thing that I think I even said from the pulpit of how we treat Genesis. Like, I know this, but we don't really know it because you got to kind of, there's a deep dive there. And so, but we read the stories, and it's like, well, I know the stories, but there's so much more. So,
the cool thing about the Bible is that no matter how many times we read it, there are still things that we learn or that we've missed in the past. Because I know, was it just this last Sunday you talked about the globe and the mist? Like some of the scripture you pointed out, I was like, I have never picked up on that before. And so it just goes to show.
Yeah.
It's
Because we, and I've said it before during sermons, I'm guilty of it. We read the Bible so fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we don't actually sometimes stop to ponder what we're actually reading. Mm-hmm. You know, water above the, you know, like water above the expanse. It's like, yeah. It's just stop and ask yourself, that's literally saying there's water above the sky. So anyways,
yeah,
it's awesome stuff.
Very, very good.
So,
okay. So full transparency, guys, David gave me an outline for today and I looked at it and it's like, I mean, I might as well be looking and reading Hebrew. I was like,
come on.
I think David's just going to have to like
it's so detailed.
Fly solo on this one. So this is going to be the David show. I'm just going to throw that out there, which is fine. All right.
Ultimately, it's all the stuff I didn't get to.
Yes.
That I'm like, well, this is good stuff. Yeah,
so buckle up. This may get long. I'm just kidding.
We'll break it up. Yeah. Part one.
Okay. So. All right. So if we go off your outline here, you started with defining evolution and the importance of understanding the term. So do you want to explain that?
Yeah. So it was in my sermon notes and I cut it way before because I had so much stuff, you know, that I wanted to present, but it's so hard to cram all that in there and I didn't want to not do it justice. But I think one of the reasons that we as Christians don't engage in these conversations when we start having conversations with the majority of the world that believes in evolution is because we feel very inadequate in what we're going to say. And what I mean by defining evolution is we have to define the terms we're using. So when we say that, when somebody comes to us and say, I believe in evolution, one of the things that we should start with is, well, define what you mean. Right? Because we use one word that has this massive meaning. And so I just wanted to take a moment for anybody that's listening that finds this stuff interesting, which again, I really do, is when most people use the word term evolution, we think that means just the biological evolution, like one species becoming another. But from a creation standpoint, you got to ask people, and this is where you can challenge people, not argue with people, but challenge people that hold this view to say, well, what do you mean? So here's some different levels of evolution. There's cosmic evolution. So that's when we're talking about where did space come from? Where did time come from? Where did matter come from, right? So the Big Bang Theory, that's cosmic evolution. So now we're talking, well, what do you believe about the formation of planets? What do you believe about the existence of the universe? What do you believe, or where did it all come from? And most people that believe in evolution, that's where they're going to go, well, we don't know. And that's a great place to get somebody, in my opinion, because if you can get somebody there, you can almost ask them, so what you're saying is you have faith in your belief system, right? I think that's a big thing about the conversation is just getting people to accept that even if you hold science as your worldview or the Bible, both land on the same foundation. It's faith. Because they're neither, you know, like, because I'll admit that I was talking to somebody after church on Sunday where I said, listen, I believe in God. I believe what the Bible says, but I can't prove it because it's faith. I live by faith. I see evidence that supports my faith,
right?
But I can't prove it. So there's cosmic evolution, but then there's also like chemical evolution. Where did all the elements come from? Right. So is that what they're talking about? How did it go from hydrogen to all of a sudden the entire periodic table? What's your belief system
that
on that?
You didn't memorize?
That I didn't memorize, no. I know there's a lot of them, and there's numbers.
Those are the ones that trip me up on my crossword puzzles.
Ooh,
I should just study them, and then I would
study,
know them.
Study well, the periodic table, or just keep a copy of the periodic table.
That's cheating.
Okay.
The only thing that counts as not cheating is my phone a friend option, which is where I will ask Scott sports questions or music questions. I don't know.
For you to say your friend is Google.
No.
Ask Google.
Or Tyler sometimes will know things. So sometimes it asks like Star Wars or sometimes Lord of the Rings stuff.
It's the important stuff.
Yeah. And they always know those things.
I would be able to.
Okay, carry on.
Anyways, thank you. This is why I did the outline, folks.
This is my contribution, you guys. I don't know any of the other stuff, cosmic, evolution, but, you know, crossword puzzles.
So, continuing, you know, there's stellar evolution, right? So, again, stellar evolution would be like, how did the planets form? How did the stars form? When you study this stuff, it's intriguing because I said it on Sunday. I'm not a scientific mind, but whenever I read explanations to these things, I'll sit there and go, man, that takes a lot of faith to believe that that just happened. How the Big Bang and then these gases just swirled around and then all of a sudden they ignited into these stars. It's like, that's a lot of faith to believe these things.
So, yeah, again, that's a good point.
There's stellar evolution, right? Then there's the organic evolution. So this is like, where did life come from? How did non-life go to life? You know, is that what we're talking about? Did we come from cosmic, the primordial soup that all of a sudden the sun shone down and poof, life existed? And that one's a big one for me because
you need a lot of faith for that one.
You absolutely do, because the funny thing about it is all of the laws of science completely reject the ability for that to happen. So science itself actually rejects that, but yet people say that's science. Mm-hmm. So there's organic. Here's where the big one comes from, just for us, if you're listening, where most of us fall. There's macroevolution, and then there's microevolution. So this is where we start talking about, like, species. Mm-hmm. I completely reject macroevolution. Macroevolution is one species to another.
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like we've talked about this before.
Probably have, because this is the big conversation that most people have, is this too. Microevolution, I absolutely believe in, and that is changes within species.
Sure.
That's why you see, like Darwin, the whole theory of Darwin, he looked at finches and he's like, wow, look at all these different varieties of finches. The reality is they're all finches, so absolutely there's evolution. I believe in evolution. Mm-hmm. I believe in micro, meaning look at humans.
Right.
There's variations, there's changes, there's differences. Mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody on Sunday who was talking about how as human beings, you can look back at the history and how we got smaller and then we started getting bigger again. Like there's changes in size, there's changes. So I just bring all that up because I think we run away from the topic too much because it's too big for us, because we don't define terms.
Sure.
If somebody came to me and said, I believe in evolution, the first question is, what do you mean by that? Are we talking species? Are we talking the universe? Are we talking planets? Are we talking chemicals? What do you believe? So I just think as Christians, we have to be better to define the terms when we have conversations. So that's why I just wanted to bring that up, is it's a bigger conversation than just, I believe in evolution. What do you mean by that? So that's why I just wanted to hit on that, because I believe when we get deeper in that, it supports us more to challenge somebody else to say, okay, that's fine if you believe that, but do you not see
why?
Yeah. And do you not see that there's a lot of assumptions to your belief? There's a lot of assumptions. It's not scientifically proven. It's assumption. So anyways, that's why I bring that up.
Okay.
So
that's good. Are you ready to move on to your next point?
I mean, you're the one that's leading this thing.
Yes. I'm just coming along. I feel really awkward today because it's been so long. So I'm sorry.
No, that's all good. Here we go.
Evidence for evolution.
Yeah.
Hasn't it been proven?
Yeah, no.
Or hasn't it been proven? Sorry, well, I'm trying to read David's notes.
I like how she's putting it back on me.
I'm so prepared, you guys. I even forgot my Bible. I forgot that we were podcasting, to be honest. And then I got here and I was like, oh, yeah. What is the evidence for evolution?
Okay. Well, so this was another thing I wanted to hit on, and I was hoping to get to the sermon, is because that's another reason I think we don't engage in the conversation, because we're told constantly, this has been proven. This has been proven. It's a proven fact. It's not a proven fact. And if we actually dig deeper into it, I have to be upfront. Even when I'm talking about this, I don't feel like I'm an expert with this. I'm very much a novice when it comes to this. I'm not a scientific person. I just read about it, and I just find it intriguing. Mm-hmm. So there's just some things. So I said it during the sermon, and I think this is important. I want to say it again. How we approach the evidence determines how we interpret the evidence. So if I approach evidence, so again, if I come across, I like watching a lot of crime dramas, right? I like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you see it many times in crime dramas where you have somebody that's like, I know they're the killer. Mm-hmm. And every piece of evidence, they're trying to make that evidence fit the conclusion they've already made, right? And so it's important to understand that every person that's trying to point towards evolution is filtering the evidence through the lens of evolution. And so we have to understand that. In the same way, I'm going to be completely upfront like I did in the sermon. Mm-hmm. I approach it from creation. So I'm approaching the evidence in the same way. I just am asking questions like, well, does it really prove evolution or is there other possibilities? Right. So I just think we have to be upfront to say, how are we approaching the evidence? So I have three areas, or just three main ones that in my own study that I just wanted to give some evidences to anybody who's listening. And the only reason I'm doing this is because I don't think it proves, like, I'm not going to share these like, ha, that proves creation. Mm-hmm. The reason I want you guys to think about it is just for that. If anybody is here listening and they struggle with some of these, I hope it makes them go, huh, that's interesting. Maybe there's other alternatives. So here's the three that always get brought up. We know that the earth is millions of years old because of rock layers, right? We look at the rock layers, mm-hmm. and we know it's millions of years old. The other reason that's always given for, you know, species or humanity is we have transitional fossils. We can look back at fossils and it proves that man evolved, right? So sure. That's the second one that you use. And the third one that is always brought up is dating methods, right? Like carbon dating and all the radioactive dating that they do. So this is where I'm challenging us as Christians. Don't just take those at face value. Mm-hmm. Read about it and study it. So let me give you some examples. Rock
or
layers.
Listen to David talk about it on a podcast.
Or listen, yeah. Like I'm gonna pull out my PhD.
There you go.
And prove why.
I'm sorry, I'm not gonna be reading this stuff. I'm just gonna take your word for it.
It's great. It's interesting. No, makes your head hurt, but it's interesting. So let me give you some examples of rock layers. So where this theory came from was back in the 1700s into the 1800s, scientists, geologists started looking at the earth and they said, wow, look at all the rock layers. And then because man was starting to move away from what the Bible said, they wanted to explain, apart from the existence of God, how did this happen? So they started looking at it and they started saying, every single one of those layers represents, a year or, you know, a season or a time. So each rock layer, shows to us, because there's these millions of rock layers that we can see in the formation of mountains and cliffs and just the earth. Well, that proves that the earth has to be millions of years old because it took millions of years for these rock layers to form. Okay, so that's the theory. Well, here's what's fun about it. So when Mount St. Helens blew, so just give you a piece of evidence that's intriguing. When Mount St. Helens blew, and that was in 1980, I believe.
Yeah, that was in my next follow-up question.
Yeah, it was in 1980. So Mount St. Helens blew, massive volcanic eruption, okay. So after that happened, there you can actually see photos of this. There is in some places 600 feet of rock layers that have been formed from the lava flow. So you can look at it like, well, look at the layers. Mm-hmm. So here's what's interesting about it. Here's these 600 feet of rock layers that were formed, and it happened within 3 hours.
Interesting.
Because of a volcanic eruption. So as a Christian, and as someone that reads the Bible, so this is one of the big key pieces of evidence that always intrigues me when it comes to evolution discussions. If I'm a person that believes in evolution, I reject the Bible. That's the thing. If I'm a straight right. evolution, I reject the Bible.
Right.
So there's one piece of evidence that every person that approaches evolution from a natural or the world from a naturalistic point of view, they all reject the same thing: the reality of a global flood. And from a creation standpoint, I believe in a global flood. I also believe that the global flood was, see, in our brains, when I was growing up, you heard about the flood and you think, oh, it started to rain. And as the rain came, it slowly, you know, and then all of a sudden everything was flooded because it rained. But when you read the Bible, it doesn't say that. In fact, only a little bit of the water came from rain. The Bible actually says that the earth split open and the waters from the deep burst forth. Okay. So now picture this. If the flood happened, the earth is literally cracked open like an egg all over the earth, violently. Water that is underneath the ground, which we know is true. Science has proved that. There's still water underneath the ground. In fact, I believe the majority of the water we have on the surface of the earth actually came from beneath. I think the oceans are here to the degree that they are because it's the water that's left over from the flood. But anyways, picture this. The earth is literally cracked open like an egg violently. And water doesn't just seep out from these openings. Like water violently is shooting out from the depths of the earth. And it's a violent action. Now, here's the thing. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be volcanic eruptions. Like the earth. And in fact, what I love about this is in 2 Peter, there's actually a passage in 2 Peter where Peter's talking about the future coming of Christ and judgment. And he makes this statement in 2 Peter where he says, the first earth was destroyed under the water. Like the mm-hmm. earth that existed at creation doesn't exist anymore because the mm-hmm. flood destroyed it. Mm-hmm. So rock layers. So again, Mount St. Helens, if you have rock layers formed in a matter of hours from one volcanic eruption, mm-hmm. what kind of ramifications would we see around the globe from a worldwide flood mm-hmm. that destroyed the earth? You know, so that's what I'm just saying. So yeah. I share that to say, ha, that proves creation. But it should cause us to say, huh, there might be other explanations mm-hmm. to why these things exist. So I mean, that's just the you know, one piece when I think of the rock layers. There's mm-hmm. other alternatives mm-hmm. that kind of track with the Bible, too. So it's how do you approach the evidence? So that's where I land when it comes to rock layers.
Yeah.
Right?
I've never heard that. So that's interesting.
Because you got to read.
I do read. I just don't read about rock layers and transitional fossils. Okay.
So now transitional fossils. I'm not going to go into great deal with this. But again, just the one small piece of information I thought was interesting. So you can read textbooks and they always got, here's, you know, Neanderthal man, here's the different stages. Mm-hmm. One of the things that upsets me more than it still upsets me is I remember going to the Smithsonian Natural History Museum and they have an entire wing and you can walk through the whole wing and they have statues all throughout this thing of all the different levels of man, full made statues.
Yeah,
this is the progression, uh-huh. right? It upsets me because I look at it and it's like, listen, I'm not denying you found bones. I'm not denying that there were not dead things that you found in the ground. What upsets me is that you've taken a handful of bones and you've created a full-scale model of what you think it looked like. Mm-hmm. So it upsets me because it's like, that's a lot of assumptions.
Sure.
So an example, like a famous one would be, they called her Lucy. They found a set of bones named Lucy, and she's one of the big ones that they use to say, this proves transitional fossils.
Right.
You can actually look it up and you can see how much of Lucy's skeleton they found. Mm-hmm. It's not complete. It's very, it's just a scattered amount of bones. They have some of her skull. They have some of her limbs. They have some of this and all of that. What upsets me is that they took this section of bones and they've recreated. You can go and see at the Smithsonian, they have a full scale model of what they say she looked like. And of course it's like this humanoid chimpanzee looking, you know, saying, see, this proves that we evolved from this. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
I'm Googling it right now.
Are you?
I know I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Her, but yeah.
So all of that, I'm simply going to say this. I'm not trying to say they don't find bones, but this is
she was
one.
Not attractive.
No, not whatsoever. Here's the thing that I find interesting about transitional fossils, or one piece of information, or I heard this quote once and I thought it was interesting. One Christian scientist says, when you find bones in the ground, that doesn't prove evolution because, again, of the assumptions. All it means when you find bones in the ground is that something lived and something died. Mm-hmm. It proves nothing else. It doesn't prove that what you found had... I love this quote. They said, it doesn't prove that whatever you found in the ground had babies. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't prove anything. You can't prove what it looked like. You can't mm-hmm. prove... And that's the other thing I love about when they make these recreations of what they look like. If you guys... I don't know if you've ever done this. You can Google this, too. But there's this thing where they asked artists to draw what the creature looked like based on this skull. Mm-hmm. It was a hippo skull. Mm-hmm. You can look it up. And they're just the craziest looking animals you mm-hmm. could ever imagine. It's a hippo skull. Mm-hmm. Like, so we're putting a lot of assumptions.
Right.
So that's the first thing we have to say is assumptions.
Yeah.
But this is the one piece of information I thought was interesting. And this is not a Christian source by any means when I share this. So they'll find skulls and they'll say these skulls don't look like modern human skulls. A lot of times they have a lot more pronounced brow bone. Mm-hmm. Their jaws are different. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back to the Bible. The Bible tells us that early man lived hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. 900 and some years. Even after the flood, they lived for a good 500.
If you guys
can
see how animated David is right now, he is like amped up.
It is, because his stuff is so cool to me, and it just... anyways.
Sorry.
But the thing that's interesting is I literally asked AI this question because it's not a Christian source.
Right.
They're not going to give me Christian answers.
Yeah, yeah.
I just simply asked it this question. I mm-hmm. said, what would a human skull look like if the individual lived for 900 years? Mm-hmm. And then I asked, like, what, because your eyebrow, this mm-hmm. bone, continues to grow. Your skull changes as you age. Mm-hmm. It's proven fact. Even in our short 60, 70-year lives, facial structures change. And I asked, what would a human skull look like because of these bones growing and shifting after 900 years? AI's answer to me, one of the parts of its answers that just it made me actually laugh out loud, is it said, if a human lived for 900 years, their facial structures would be very similar to Neanderthal and other, like, of mm-hmm. this. I was like, huh, isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Like, we find these bones and we say, see, it proves it's transition. Mm-hmm. Or it just could be somebody that lived for 600, 700, right. 800, 900 years.
Right.
And their face changed. Mm-hmm. Right? So I thought, so again, it's evidence that should make us go, well, interesting. If the Bible's true, how do we approach the evidence? Mm-hmm. You know, because I was talking to actually Tyler about this. Because Tyler has a medical history, and I wanted to ask him, like, hey, I'm not saying anything that as far as you know, is out of... So as we grow, our pelvises shift, our spines compress, right? We lose fluid, mm-hmm. Our facial structures change. Mm-hmm. And something else I thought was interesting is it actually, our bones continue to get thicker as we get older.
Hmm.
Not thicker in the sense of stronger.
I was going to say.
But I was talking to Tyler about this.
Think he said, fine or weaker.
He said, it's not that they're getting stronger when they get thicker, but it's kind of like fingernails where they continually are regenerating. Mm-hmm. So there's like a layer that continues to kind of... So there's a shift to our skeletal structure mm-hmm. as time goes on. And I just sat there, well, what would that look like 300, 400, 500? 800 years. Mm-hmm. So I kind of, again, it's how do you approach the evidence? Is it possible some of the things, the bones they find, mm-hmm. you're not looking at a different transitional species. You're seeing bones of people that lived for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's how do you approach the evidence?
Right.
So it's just another thing that makes me go, there's alternatives.
Things that make you go, hmm.
Things that make you go, hmm. Also, when they find some of these structures or skeletons, well, I don't know if you ever heard of Piltdown Man? Is it Pilt? Yeah, Piltdown Man. Mm-mm. You ever heard of this?
No.
I think that's the name of it. So back in the 20s, they actually found what they said was one of the missing links, and it was called Piltdown Man. For like 40 years.
Who named him? That's a terrible name.
It's where they
name.
Found him or something, oh, okay. like that, or who found him. But for like 40 years, they touted
it's not
this.
Catchy.
Well, they Sorry. Touted this as like, this is proof of evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the deal. After they found him and then they actually did some research, it was actually a fraud. It was part human skull, part mm-hmm. orangutan skull that they put together.
Oh.
Now, here's the problem, though.
Uh-huh.
When you're pushing something for 40 years to be proof,
yeah.
even when it's proved to be false, mm-hmm. it's already done its damage, right? So that's the mm-hmm. thing we have to remember when they're touting, like, we have proof, we have proof, whatever. It's like, mm-hmm. do you really have proof? Mm-hmm. Like, how much of this was falsified? How much of this was just you twisted it to... fit mm-hmm. your narrative.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm bringing it up. It's just for us to question things, to say, is there other alternatives to what's being pushed? And the last one, you know, that I'll bring up, what was the last one I said?
Dating methods.
So,
and we're not talking about Hinge.
Yeah, we're not talking about dating. Yeah. We're not talking about Tinder here. Dating methods. So a lot of people go, well we have carbon dating.
People are like, wow, that was a really bad joke, you guys. Sorry.
We got to keep it fresh. But carbon dating, that's where a lot of people say, well, mm-hmm. that proves all of this. Listen, I did more reading on carbon dating than I ever wanted to in my life, and it made my head hurt.
Yeah.
But it was intriguing. So here's what carbon dating ultimately is. there's a level of carbon that they will look, that they know the decay rate, or we have a known decay rate. So when they test something, they look at it and they say, well, if it comes back with this certain reading, we can attribute decay rate, and it'll tell us how old it is. Okay. And that's how they basically do it, based on the carbon in it. And then they have other ways that they test rocks and stuff like that. I can't remember what that one's called. I'm only bringing it up because here's what's interesting. Now, before I have notes on it,
you
so I don't want to
have some notes.
I do, because I don't want to misrepresent this. So here's what's interesting. So there's lava flows in Hawaii. We all, if you've watched, you know, there's always lava flows. They have lava flows that they know happened in 1881, 1907, 1959. So they know when they happen. They tested them. These lava flows came back with dates of 160 million years or up to 3 billion years.
Wow.
But they know when they happened.
Right.
See, this is what I'm trying to say. But see, then this is what science does.
Interesting.
It was contaminated. Mm. Our testing, something threw it off. And I'm like, well, that's really easy to, you know. So what kind of testing do they just dismiss, right? Mount St. Helens is the same thing. Go back to Mount St. Helens.
So like they tested the lava that came out of, but wouldn't it test? I mean, is it, okay, this is me being, knowing nothing about lava or eruptions. But so when a volcano erupts, whatever the lava that comes out of it, isn't it going to have like particles of the actual volcano that has been there?
That's a great question, because I kind of asked the same thing.
Yeah.
You're figuring if
like,
that lava existed.
Like it's going to be, it's not a new, completely new organism, right?
No, but see, I have the same question. This is where I say I'm not a science mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And so what I was reading.
Someone will have
with
to chime in. And,
like, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. What I was reading, though, the scientific
Mike Dominic
perspective.
I feel like this is all you.
Is. It's a dating of when the rock formation, so you're not dating the lava as much as you're dating when the rock formation was created.
Oh, from the lava.
From the lava.
Okay. Interesting.
Right?
Okay. No, that makes more sense.
That's how I took it.
Okay.
Right? Because I'll go back to the Mount St. Helens.
Sure.
Another example of Mount St. Helens is when it blew, once again, they came back and there was lava domes is what they were calling them. So the lava's done. And it's created the rock dome that was created from the lava. And it was 25 years after it happened. So they know the date of when this within 25 years. When they tested it by their testing methods, the date came back to 340,000 to 2.8 million years.
Wow. Okay.
So that's what I'm trying to say is like, just because there's a date doesn't mean carbon dating. You can look up examples of that where they'll test things where they know. Here's all I'm going to say about the dating methods. I'm not denying them. I'm not saying that they're not. But they all come with assumptions. So the best example I will give is this. And I love this example. It makes sense to my brain. It's not mine. I heard it from somebody else. But here's the example. If I walk into the bathroom and my tub is full of water, and I look at it and I say, huh, that's interesting. I want to know how long did it take for my tub to fill with water? I can collect data. So like if my tub is 100 liters and then I can test the flow rate of water at that moment and it'll say it's 10 liters a minute. I can do the math and I can figure it out that it took X amount of time, like 10 minutes for my tub to fill. So I did the math. I have a number, 10 minutes. But I'm still feeding a lot of assumptions into that. So example, I wasn't in there when it started. So I don't know, was my tub already half full? I don't know where, I don't know the starting point. I'm assuming the starting point. I'm assuming that it was empty. I'm assuming that the flow rate was the same the whole time. So example for us is anybody here when you're ever taking a shower and someone turns the washing machine on,
so
my house, the water pressure goes down.
Yes.
So it changes flow rate. So I'm assuming the flow rate stayed constant. I'm assuming that the stopper was full, like closed the whole time. I'm assuming that there wasn't leaking happening and it took longer. See, so there's a lot of assumptions that they're bringing into the dating.
Example. Yeah.
So when you think about dating, they come to carbon dating. They're assuming they know what was the amount of carbon in the first place. They're assuming that the rate of decay has always been the same. Again, they're not taking into account what I shared on Sunday. What did the earth look like when God first created it? So if there was this dome that would protected us? Did that change carbon rate? Did that change the atmosphere? Did that change what man was made, you know, like what was in things? Mm-hmm. They're assuming a lot of things. So it's not a rejection of the carbon dating. It's just we can't treat it as absolute proof. There's a lot of assumption that's mm-hmm. put into
a
it.
A lot of variables.
A lot of variables. Yeah. So again, I'm not sharing this to say it proves creation. That's my
scientific contribution.
There you go. It's a lot of variables.
Variables.
Because another example I heard behind the, not just the bathtub, but another example was like lighting a candle. You can do the same thing. You light a candle, mm-hmm. burn rate, how long has it been burning and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you're taking a lot of assumptions. You don't know how big the candle was when it started. Mm-hmm. You don't know if a window was open, which changes the light flick, you know, like mm-hmm. if wind is causing the flame to go up and down. Yes. There's variables.
Mm-hmm. Humidity levels probably know. Make a difference. Yeah. Stuff like that. Yeah.
Because we weren't there.
Right.
So that's the biggest thing with all of these things is mm-hmm. they're making assumptions based off how they're interpreting the evidence, but it's still full of assumptions. So
yeah, that's legit.
So I only bring these up because just, like I said on Sunday, use your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm not telling you where to land. It's just approach it with some, well, there's variables.
Mm-hmm.
It's not proven. It's all assumption. So anyways, that's my.
No, that was good. That was interesting.
And it happened because I read.
So that was a lot of
it
information.
It was a lot.
Why
does it matter?
Why the heck does it matter?
It matters again. I try to hit on this in the sermon. I just want to reiterate. That's why I put it in this. It matters because as Christians, we have to ask ourselves, how am I approaching Scripture?
Mm.
I go back to what I said on Sunday, and I'll say it again. The reason I went through, if you listen to the sermon, or you know, if you were here, the reason I went through the word study, what does day mean? What does kind mean? What does creation mean or created? If you want to be a person that leans towards evolution, again, I'm not mad at that. I'm not going to say, how dare you? I'm not saying you can't even have faith in Jesus with that. But if that's the way you lean, you have to be honest with yourself. You can't use the Bible to support it.
Mm.
So how do you approach Scripture? What is the authority of Scripture in your life? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that as a, you know, like a how dare. Again, it's a question you have to ask yourself. Mm-hmm. What do you take seriously with the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
Because I have landed that if I can't trust what Genesis 1:1 says, then how can I really stand faithfully with assurance on what John 3:16 says?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's where I've landed.
Yeah.
So that's why I use the Bible as my starting point.
Yeah, our hermeneutics.
You know, yes.
Matter, yeah.
So I think that's why, you know, and the other reason I think it's so important is because I think we as Christians have to also ask some serious questions, the impact that this worldview has had. I don't think evolution is the root cause of all of what I'm about to say, but I think it's fed into it. We have massive depression rates in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff we're seeing in Minneapolis and mm-hmm. just the devaluing of human life. And that's not talking about, like, you know, who was shot.
Right.
I'm saying all of it, you know, like towards law enforcement, towards immigration, towards one another. We live in this very, you know, animalistic
mm-hmm.
mentality. You have generations of young people, not just young people. I'm saying my age. We grew up where there's no value. You're just
we're
cosmic,
so desensitized
yes.
to violence.
You're
and
stardust. That's I remember that was the big thing pushed back in the 90s. We're just stardust. Mm-hmm. And it was said like it was some glorious thing. Like mm-hmm. you're just stardust. The problem is the root of that, or the foundation of that statement, is you're just a cosmic accident.
Yeah.
There's no value to you. There's no purpose to you.
Mm-hmm.
Life is void. So I think, again, I don't want to say evolution is the root or like the cause of all these things, mm-hmm. but I think it's fed into a worldview that's causing a lot of things that we're seeing.
Sure, yeah.
How we treat one another. And the other thing I would just say is this, is we can see the impact around the world, because as evolution was becoming more prominent, listen, racism has always existed and it always will.
Yeah.
I would, because we're broken, we're horrible mm-hmm. people.
Well, you see it in the Bible.
We see it in the Bible.
Yeah.
But evolution was also this worldview was also things that really fed atheistic nations. Again, this isn't a political statement, but communist nations that wanted to kick God completely out of the equation. And Darwin was a very, he was a racist man. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not saying he went around and treated people poorly, but his own writings were pushing certain races are inferior because of natural selection and some are better. And then you see how communist Russia and how China and how other nations that latched hold of this naturalistic view used it as reasons to mistreat and have this very, you know, racist mentality towards people. And that this just helped feed a brokenness in humanity to reject God, reject God's truth, and twist it to push an agenda that we want to push.
Right.
And so there's ramifications to this. And I think we're seeing it and we're living it. So
That's interesting.
Yeah. So that's why I think it matters. That's why I get so passionate about it, because I think our schools, and when I say this, I'm not saying Vinton Shelsburg, I'm saying schools. In my opinion, they're pushing lies on kids. And that's why I'm passionate about it. I think science, I think science is great, but there are certain elements to it that are pushing lies on humanity. And that has ramifications.
Yeah.
So it matters.
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
So
it's one of those things where I know you've said this in the past on when it comes to, you know, second tier or third tier doctrines, that it's like, it's okay for us to disagree as long as we agree on like the main things, but that, it just doesn't really matter. Like, you know,
Yeah.
I mean, but we want to be educated.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't, it matters, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
Like,
it's nothing to have division over. And what I mean by that is like, it's nothing that we should reject. Now, you know, if somebody came into the church and really started like pushing an agenda of, of this topic, I'm going to say like, stop, you know, if you want to discuss it, if you want to, you know, have debate about it, that's one thing. But again, that's one of the things I do appreciate about our church. Is we haven't taken this like hard line in the sand. You must believe this about creation. But if somebody came in here and said, I'm a Christian and I don't believe God created any of this, then I'm like, then you have a real big problem with the Bible.
But you've always told us, like, do your own research. don't just take my word for it, although I am going to today.
I'll send you all the articles.
Even though we can disagree that burying our heads in the sand isn't the way to go either. Like, we want to learn and maybe more understand why we think we believe what we believe on different sides of different things. But when I was originally, that thought was in my head, then it was like gone and then it came back.
There you go. Well, and it really comes down to, once again, what's the authority in your life?
Yeah.
So if all of a sudden on the news you hear this, we've proven this from science, and you automatically say, yep. Well, what's the authority?
Right.
It's, think about it, process it, ponder it. Just don't automatically accept everything. So anyways.
So your last point.
Yeah.
Point four.
Revisit.
You want to revisit, when did sin enter the world?
So I just.
And I have a question.
Okay. I feel
like I've asked you before.
Okay.
And you probably gave me a really good answer.
I probably did.
But so my memory's terrible.
Yeah.
Must
not have been that good,
though. So my, like, I think I remember what you told me, actually. Okay. But I always wondered, if sin didn't come into the world until Eve was tempted by the by Satan, then how did Satan become bad in the first place? Because that was sinful.
It was sinful. So so I don't remember what the answer is I gave you at that time. I'll tell you where I'm at now, and it probably, I don't want to say it changed any, but as you know, just even my own thought process. So Satan, of course, sinned against God, but Satan wasn't part of God's creation.
Yeah, that's what you told me before.
Meaning he was created by God, but the angelic beings are created in a different realm.
It's different, yeah.
It's a different realm. So that's why it didn't affect. Now, when did it happen? I don't know. There's tons of theories on that. Like,
So because that possibility, like, God knew that possibility was always there, or he knew that Satan was going to rebel. So wasn't it? So it was like inevitable that it was going to taint mankind.
Yeah.
I mean, God, obviously God knew, but
this is why this is one of those.
It's just like anything outside of God just isn't holy and perfect and good.
Yeah.
I mean, really, right?
So, this is, yes, absolutely. Yeah. So this is where I get it, but I don't get it stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why, you know, when the Bible tells us that God already had the plan of salvation determined before he created one thing.
Right.
So that's where that he knew how it was all going to play out.
Yeah.
And he still did it anyways. And he already had the plan figured out. But then the next question as a human is, I say, why?
Exactly.
Why did you do it? And this is the only answer that I have,
mm-hmm.
for me anyways, is that God did it because I believe God's ultimate desire was to have a relationship with mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Not a relationship necessarily with creation while we are part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's my thing. I don't think God has this like intimate relationship with animals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're animals.
Right.
Right. It, you know, while I can love my cat, that doesn't mean God's up there like, oh, I have this intimate. Mankind is that. And we're going to talk about that Sunday like this.
Yeah.
We were created in the image of God. There's this intimate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes back to, why did God do what God did, or mm-hmm. why did God allow what God allowed, is because you can't have an intimate love relationship with somebody without choice.
Right.
And as soon as God created, if God would have created with no choice, there's no love.
Mm-hmm.
There's no choice. Mm-hmm. There's no, you know, it's the equivalent of, well, it's kind of like, this is going to sound like a really bad example, but you just told me yesterday that you watched the documentary. What was the girl? Smart.
Elizabeth Smart.
Not to go deep into that, but like kidnapped and like, you're my wife now,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to do this. She was forced into a situation where it's just like, you are mine, mm-hmm. and you have no choice.
And was so brainwashed.
Yes. And you have no choice, right? Like, that's not God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we look around it and we see like all the pain and suffering, and we have to see the ramifications that, well, mm-hmm. that's our perspective. That's not God's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I get it, but I don't get it.
Yeah.
Because from my perspective, it just seems so overwhelming. But yet from God's perspective, it's not,
mm-hmm.
because I'm not God. So again, I get it, but I don't get it, you know? And that's the other thing I love about this is when we talk about this is, it's kind of like when people talk about eternity, like I've heard people actually say, oh, it's going to be, God's going to reset and it's going to be like it was in the garden. Mm-hmm. No, it's not. The garden's long gone.
Mm-hmm.
Garden of Eden is gone.
Mm-hmm.
That relationship with God is gone. It's never coming back. The relationship we're going to have with God for all eternity is actually better than the relationship that Adam and Eve had. Because in the garden, God still was in heaven. And earth was earth and heaven was heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation says heaven and earth are going to come together.
Mm.
And God's going to be with his people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
in a way that we haven't experienced.
In a way that's never been experienced.
Yeah.
So what is coming is better than what was.
Mm.
But for that to happen, it required Jesus. And so again, I get it, but there's still a part of me that
yep.
doesn't get it.
Yep.
Because I'm
and
not
I think it's just
God.
The way it's supposed to be.
It is the way it's supposed to be. So...
Huh.
It's a great question. That's stuff we should ponder. Again, it shouldn't make us question our faith,
mm-mm.
but it should make us dive deeper into wanting to understand our faith.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's kind of like the same reason I wanted to revisit this is because if a person wants to believe that mankind evolved,
mm-hmm.
then you have a sin problem.
Mm-hmm.
Not you have sin problem, but you have a sin problem. Because for evolution to work, there has to be death.
Mm-hmm.
Because... And I'm going to say this because this might be things where, like, I don't think about this. For evolution to work means that the whole point of it is that there's a mutation in me and natural selection has to remove the weak parts in order for the mutation to continue,
mm-hmm.
which means something has to die for the good of mutations to continue.
Mm-hmm.
That's why death is required in natural selection. So that means if we came from an amoeba or whatever you want to call it from the ocean, and then it became a sea creature, and then that crawled out onto the, you know, and then all of a sudden that formed into animals, and then it formed into us, there's a whole lot of death that had to happen before the Bible says sin entered the world.
Mm.
So if somebody says, well, I believe in Adam and Eve, I believe that they fell, I believe they sinned against God, but I believe that there was this big, long process of death. Then you're telling me you believe the Bible's a lie. It's basically lying to you.
Yeah, yeah.
So it goes back to an authority thing. Is the Bible true or not?
Hmm.
And it's the entirety of the Bible. You just can't use Genesis because that's why I pointed out in the sermon. Paul says in Romans, sin came from one man and then sin spread to everyone. Mm-hmm. And with sin came death. So you have to wrestle mm-hmm. with these things. Mm-hmm. So.
Hmm. Do you guys have way more questions now than you did before this episode? I might.
And I love how you say that, because mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest. The more that I research this stuff, it still brings... I have tons of questions.
Yeah.
I've also accepted the fact that there are questions that I probably will never have answered.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't there. I know what's right in front of me.
Right.
And I trust what I trust. And two, I accept the fact that God has not given me a brain to understand a lot of things. And I'm fine with that. So I even say that from like the scientific side of things. I can read things and I'm like... I don't get what you're talking about.
Does not compute.
You know, but I will just say this is one of the things that gives me comfort is there's some very smart human beings out there that you can listen to and you can read and you can watch that do have brains with that. Mm-hmm. And they have, this is what the Bible says. And so John Lennox, he's one of my favorite guys to listen to. He makes me feel stupid every time I listen to him because he's so brilliant. But he's a mathematician from Oxford or Cambridge or something like that. You can watch him on YouTube. You can watch him do teachings. You can watch him do debates. But he's a mathematician that, you know, he's a firm believer in Jesus Christ and in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I love listening to him because he actually has a debate you can watch with him and Dawkins. And I love the debate because even about like maybe – half of it I don't quite understand. I love it because he is toe-to-toe with him the whole time. And here's the God delusion guy, right? The guy that says, you're idiots if you believe this. And here's this mathematician, world-respected mathematician that's defending. And it's just...
That's cool.
So there's people out there that I... That's what gives me comfort, right? Is like, there's people smarter than me that still lay in the same place I do. And
yes,
that gives me comfort.
Yes and amen.
So,
so when you talked about our sermon Sunday and we're going to talk about creation, like humans and stuff, are we going to talk about, the difference between humans and animals and whether or not our pets are going to be in heaven with us? Maybe that can be a podcast spinoff.
No, because I do not want to get hate emails because I'll say it right here, right now. I am not my pets are going to be waiting for me in heaven.
Yeah.
And that's, here's why. I'm going to be honest. It's because I'm a jerk. It really is. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want every pet that I have. I don't want them back. I had some good ones.
Do you think maybe just what brings us joy God will bring back for us?
Maybe. But I don't know.
I actually just listened to a podcast about this and it was hilarious.
I mean.
And I don't feel like they ever answered the question. Because here's the thing. We don't know.
We don't know. I mean, I could be completely wrong on a lot of things, you know.
Yeah.
What I am going to say is this when it comes to pets. I'll say this on the podcast. I wouldn't say this on a Sunday morning because it just opens too much. Like, really? What? I might bring it up when we do the fall.
Okay.
I really think that man and animals communicated with each other.
Ooh, interesting.
Well, a snake started talking to Eve she didn't freak out.
That's fair.
And then I also think that because the Bible says that after the flood, There's a scripture there that then God says, now all flesh, like animals, are available to you to food. I will put the fear. Like, there was no fear. Like, the animal kingdom had no fear of mankind.
And vice
before
versa?
The flood. I think so. I think there was no... That's another question when somebody's asked me. Just recently, somebody's like, well, what about dinosaurs, right? Mm-hmm. That's always the question. Mm-hmm. And again, assumption. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying the T-Rex didn't exist. The problem is most of our mindset today, we all view the T-Rex through Jurassic Park.
Right.
Or we view it through Land of the Lost. Like when I was a kid, right? Assumptions. But when you read the Bible, again, because there was no death before sin, God created all of creation. We were all vegetarian, even dinosaurs.
Yeah, living in harmony.
Living in harmony. I think there was a communication. Better. I don't know. I just, when I read scripture, it just makes me go, huh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You know? So I only say that with heaven because, man, wouldn't that be cool? Like if God, you know, like.
Yeah.
If we get our pets back.
Riding dinosaurs.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. We're assuming that all of the creatures that are going to be in eternity are going to be all the same creatures that God created the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what I love about the limitations we put on God. Mm-hmm. Like another, I know we're getting way off, so, but I think about this. Like, we live in a universe that's full of color.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think about creation, I go back to God created all these colors, which tells me I have an infinite God who could create infinite colors.
Mm-hmm.
But see, my brain also says, well, no, we know the color spectrum. Yeah, because it was created by God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's going through my head is like, I don't know what creation's going to look like. I don't even know what the original creation, like this is broken. So this could be lacking some of the things that God originally had. It,
mm-hmm.
We just don't know. Like, that's what I think is cool about it. And that's another reason why I think science is awesome, but it's also limited because it can only understand what's in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
It can't understand what it doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I just said.
Well, this has been very enlightening.
I just
want to point out we're under an hour.
Are we? I knew this was going to go long.
It's not even a 3-hour podcast like I was expecting.
She saw my agenda. So, she's like, are you kidding me?
No, it was actually very short. I just didn't know how much information you're going to fill it with. You know? So
there's
look
more.
At that.
There's more.
Look at that.
There's a lot more.
So, I mean, are we back? Are we going to do this again? Was this a one-off?
Well, some people showed some excitement when I said that it was coming back during Sunday.
So I guess we'll have to see you guys.
I got at least one woohoo when we know who our woohoo guy is.
Yeah, you'll just be on the edge of your seats waiting to see.
We like to
supply
and demand.
Yeah.
Listen, if we get your letters.
Yeah.
If we get letters, we'll do
That's good. That's good. All right. Well, then I guess we'll see you when we see you.
I say, maybe next time.
All right. Thanks for listening.